2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tacos Fast 40. I know I've kind of shelved this podcast for a little bit with the ever since NBC took over and just gave us these really awful scheduling times, but we got plenty of time until tomorrow night's Darlington Southern 500 race, and it should be an excellent race. Everybody in throwback schemes, really a fun race that a lot of people like, and one of the best races of the year, definitely. As is always the case, this podcast is brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Check us out using the link in the description and sign up with promo code TACO to receive a lifetime 10% off. And you can get full access to our Domination Station lineup optimizer for tomorrow's race, which does include Dominator stacking features. And of course, you get all full access to our NFL tools. That's right around the corner. Gonna knock the NASCAR contest down a little bit. It kind of sucks for me, but I know everybody's excited to get into NFL. So be sure to check us out with the link in the description, dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO to support the pod. All right, so we're headed to Darlington, and we race here once a year. And you know, this track has some really interesting features about it. If you go and look back at what's gone on here in the past, you notice this track more than any, at least for DraftKings purposes, this track more than any favors the guy starting in the very front, and specifically the guy starting on the pole. At no track in the NASCAR circuit does the pole sitter average more lead laps than right here at Darlington. In fact, pole sitters here average 148 lead laps with 39 fast laps. That comes to 91 average fantasy points, and 60% of the time they're hitting over 100 fantasy points. You get some really, really big dominators from up in the front. It can be a bit of a lap turner, and the guys out in front usually have a pretty clear advantage on the restarts, and it's just really hard to pass the leader here at this track, and it's shown that time and time again. First place starting position averages 91 fantasy points, and that's almost double of any other starting position on the board. Second, third, seventh, and eighth. Around there, they average about 50 fantasy points. But when you look at the top 10 specifically, you got your guys starting first through fifth, 40% of the time they are in the optimal lineup on DraftKings. Guys starting sixth through 10th, they finish in the optimal lineup on DraftKings at a 33% clip. And if we look over there on FanDuel, same sort of thing. First through fifth starting position, 44% of the time they're in the optimal. 32% of the time, guys starting 6th through 10th are in the optimal. Then you look at guys starting 11th through 15th, 16th through 20th. They're at about 8% each. 4% each through for 20th through 30th. And then zero times has anyone 31st or worse been in the optimal on FanDuel, and the same thing goes for DraftKings. 20th through 30th starting position, 3% of the time, they've been the optimal lineup, and yeah, it's twice ever, or since 2013, not ever, but yeah, 10% of the time the guys 10th through 20th are in the optimal. You really, really want to find as many of the guys starting up front as you can, more than any other track. And if you look at average fantasy points, just overall, the guys starting 20th through about 35th, they're all around the same, 22 to 23 fantasy points on DraftKings. You get a little bit more from the guys starting 10th through 20th. And of course, there's a big bump to the guys starting in the top 10. And if you look over there on FanDuel, it's even more geared towards the front end with how scoring goes out there. Of course, it's more a little more balanced across the board. Guys starting in the 20s have a bit more of a chance at scoring the fantasy points because there's so many laps, 367 this week, to be exact, that you're going to get a whole bunch of points on FanDuel just from the 0.1 bonus per lap finished from guys. And, of course, over there, if you have a guy that DNFs early, you are completely screwed. That's the number one factor of FanDuel scoring. And we see the back end guys, the guys starting in the back five, they do horribly over there. And it's a result of them going several laps down. This is a 1.3 mile track. It's really unique. It's not quite a 1.5, and it's all it's really on the steep end. The tracks we're looking at that are similar are going to be the steeper tracks, 24 degrees in banking or higher. We look to Bristol from a few weeks ago, of course. Charlotte, they're actually going to be running the same Goodyear tires as they did in Charlotte. So kind of a plus to Kyle Busch there. He's already shown some speed, but we'll also be looking to Atlanta, which is a really steep 1.5 mile track. Texas is the same way. And we'll also be looking at Dover, which has the same banking as here. 1 mile track, probably the most similar to Darlington, except for that's a bit more of a straight up green flag race, where usually not a lot of people get into it. You could kind of say the same here, but not really. Things can oftentimes get dicey. The Xfinity race today, early and kind of often, we're seeing guys getting into some trouble, hitting each other. You will get some Darlington stripes, as they call them. Guys can find the wall pretty easily, and we saw it a few times in the Xfinity race today. You find the wall, your tire starts smoking, and you go down a lap or two, because going to the pits here, the pits are going to be really, really tough to get into, and it's a really good time to have the first pit stall. And of course, who gets the first pit stall? The pole sitter. So that's kind of another reason why it's really beneficial to take the pole sitter this week. But we'll get into that here real shortly. So looking at the DFS or the DNF numbers, always look at the DFS numbers, but for the DNF numbers here, you know, the average laps finished, guys starting in the top 10 usually come through pretty darn unscathed. Once you start hitting the top 15 and back, that's when you see guys average pretty low laps on average. Usually if you're out front here, you can stay out of trouble. Just another reason why the guys, you know, starting in the very front are going to be just really solid plays this week compared to usually. It's kind of hard to get a lot of place differential here. There's kind of one preferred groove, usually the outside. You just get so much speed on the exit that pretty much the guy that is starting the restart in first is going to win the restart almost every time. So, you know, the guy starting in second has a little bit to overcome there, but let's go ahead and start talking about these guys starting first and second. Gonna go through the board in order here. Denny Hamlin sitting on the pole, which is a great place to be, and he's defending his victory from last year, and it was a really good win for him last year. This is a great track for him, as he's won it twice, has seven top five finishes. And if you look at something I added in the research station this week, just shows you when I'm running each of the splits, it compares like I did steep tracks and I did Darlington, of course. Now, in each of those samples, I compared their driver ratings in that sample to their just overall driver rating from that time. So you can see who gets a positive and negative type differential or a track differential, just showing you how good they are or aren't at this track compared to normal. And if you look at Denny Hamlin, he's got a really high differential at Darlington, where he just excels at constantly. His driver rating here is 19 points higher than his driver rating any other given track. And the same goes for the track type, not as much, but still he does a little bit better at the steeper tracks. You can say the same about Larson also. He's got some pretty big splits there as well, starting on the outside. With Hamlin and Larson, why are they so good at these steep tracks? Well, the steeper track is, the more the outside lane, or the outside line, is. And it's, you know, a lot of tracks you really want the inside. You see that in some 1.5 mile tracks, but here the outside is definitely in play. And everybody knows Larson loves to hug the wall, but not a lot of people realize that was totally Denny Hamlin style before Larson ever even considered it here and or anywhere, really. He's been doing it for a while. Casey Kane's also another person kind of like that. And you saw that last year, of course, with Hamlin winning. He was running a very unique line up against the wall, and just no one could match it. He had just one heck of a race. If you look, look at him last year, he led 124 laps with 47 fast laps, and usually he's not a guy that gets a lot of fast laps and lead laps. He hasn't really done it this season so far. Hasn't really won, only averages 10 or 11 fast laps per race on the year. But starting on the pole, we know that, you know, the stats are so generous to these guys, and he's actually got the same odds to win as Larson coming in, and you know, with the preferred pit stop or the pit stall and the preferred starting position here, I'd have to say Hamlin's going to be an even heavier favorite when the lines update either later tonight or tomorrow. And then Larson, of course, you know, he's going to be a pretty good play nonetheless. He does do well here. Like I had said, he does better at these types of tracks than your normal kinds of tracks. He's really priced up by DraftKings this week at $12,100. That's where you get Hamlin just a shade under $10,000. So Hamlin's going to be more popular than Larson, that is for sure. I think a lot of people kind of realize that the pole sitter is the move here. And even in practice one, Hamlin had the fastest 10-lap speeds. Had the fastest just time overall. But the practices are a little bit shaky this week. We did get a lot of laps, got some 15-lap averages and stuff, but they were kind of daytime practices for a night race. Of course, the second practice that was a little bit later in the day might be a little bit more telling, but you kind of want to fade practice a little bit because, again, like I had said, they're daytime practices for a night race. There's going to be a lot more grip to be had when it's hotter. The track just doesn't grip quite as well. When it cools down, that's when you get more grip in your tires. This track isn't necessarily too grippy. If you look at the last time it was repaved, it was back in 2008, so it's been a little while. But you know, the steep banking does help. It's going to be a very tough racetrack, that is for sure. It's one of the tougher tracks on the circuit. Some guys haven't seen it yet. You know, William Byron, Bubba Wallace, they've yet to race here. I know they've raced in the Xfinity series, but you know, it's kind of one of the tracks where you want to pick some of the more experienced guys, but not nearly as much as like a road course. So anyway, on the outside looking in here, you've got Martin Truex Jr. starting third, right behind Hamlin there. He might have a pretty decent chance just to pass Larson on the initial start there, and kind of chill behind him. Truex has been, you know, kind of slumping a little bit lately, just been to some tracks that he's not really the greatest at. And this track type, you know, it's not bad for him, actually. Before, you'd think of him more as just a 1.5 mile guy. But he has won here. He won back in 2016. And, you know, has some pretty good numbers, honestly, at both the steep tracks and at Darlington. So Truex is someone you definitely would don't want to forget about. He was pretty slow in both practices. You know, ran not as many laps as his competitors, that's for sure. But, you know, he was on the slower side, coming in 15th in the first practice and 24th in the second practice with the 18th overall 10-lap speeds. It didn't take a run of more than 10 laps, or at least he didn't hit 15 laps. It was on the 15-lap averages, but, you know, kind of pedestrian times for him. That's the one kind of concern here, but again, it's going to be different. He might have been working a completely different setup, more geared for the nighttime. Cole Pearn's a really good crew chief. I'm not really too worried about Martin Truex Jr. there in the 78 car. Then Alex Bowman starting fourth. He's a guy that's just starting a bit too high. Of course, if there's any track you want to start too high at, it might be this one. And he's had a real knack for finishing top 10. He's finished top 10 in half of the steep tracks that he's played at or drove at this year. So he's, you know, he's doing pretty darn good in that regard. Has finished 98% of his laps on the season, which is a pretty solid number, although only 50% of the time he's finished in the lead lap. So, you know, he does run into some trouble, might finish a lap or two down, but he's yet to have a real big DNF. A lot of that is just luck. Could kind of happen at any time, but he was second overall in the 10-lap speeds. in final practice. So Bowman, you know, not the complete fade that he usually would be starting fourth, but still not great to see him starting where you know he's most likely going to go backwards at. Kyle Busch starting fifth. He is going to be one of the best players on the board. Doesn't matter what kind of stat split you look at, he's always getting about 100 lead and fast laps combined. Really knows how to dominate. Runner-up last year to Denny Hamlin. Just part of the overall, you know, Toyota squad that was just looking really good, because Jones and, of course, Hamlin are also looking pretty good at this track last year. And, yeah, he's the odds-on favorite to win. Fastest in both 10-lap and 15-lap speeds in final practice. That's just an excellent thing for him on the season. He leads the entire NASCAR circuit with an average finish of fifth, average running position of seventh. I know Harvick is right there in terms of those numbers, but it cost $1,000 more than Harvick this week. But if they're using the same tire setup as Charlotte, you saw him lead over 300 laps there. I know that Harvick is starting down in 22nd. He's probably going to be the most popular play on the board. But Harvick, we'll talk about a little bit more when we get down to there. But after the Xfinity race today, he might be in a little bit of trouble. He made some dick moves. Kyle Busch actually looking sort of okay. But, you know, he's still Kyle Busch. He's a wild man. But he's got the best car this week for sure. You just got to kind of play him starting fifth. He's at least in the preferred line. He's going to be following two Toyotas in front of him. So that's a really good sign to start things off. And you know he's going to sniff the lead. He pretty much does it every single race. And here's no exception. Ryan Newman starting sixth. He had the fastest overall lap in second practice. Seventh in the 10 laps and 15. Or fifth in the 15 laps speed. So starting sixth, he's usually a fade candidate starting sixth, but this is a great place to be starting top 10 at. And he has four top 10 finishes in his last five starts here, with his worst finish coming in 2015, and that was a 13th place finish. He really does know how to run around here. The average running position is 14th for him, but for some reason, his average finish is a top 10. He just knows how to get there at the end of the race, and he's also... he's one of those guys that you've got to consider kind of on the bubble as far as points goes. He might be trying some interesting things to get a win here, maybe some pit strategy or something like that. But he's got a really fast car this week. You know, not only the fastest time in second practice, but fifth overall in the first practice as well. And he ran the highest number of laps of anybody in that first practice. So really into his car this week. Only $7,000 starting sixth. He's actually a pretty decent source of value. You're not going to go laps down like a lot of other guys in that range might. Erik Jones starting seventh. Fifth here last year with an average running position of ninth, so you know it was kind of legit. Looked really solid this season. He's been improving a lot. I kind of like Jones, just like Newman. You know, he cost a lot more than Newman does, but just has a little more value in the fact that he does have a better car, even if the practice times don't show it quite as much as Newman does so far. He almost has a 90 driver rating this season. It's almost that at the steep tracks as well, with average running position of 11th. And, you know, he's ran into some trouble. He really likes to spin, and that kind of hurts his numbers a little bit. I do DNF adjust all these stats, so I take out, you know, the more egregious... guys that like crashed early in the race or whatever, but he does have a tendency to spin from time to time. But recently it's, or at least on these steep tracks, he's been really good at just keeping it together and running in the top 10 a lot. So I like Jones. I think he can have a finish similar to last year's, and that's what he'll need, $8,700. He's not cheap by any means. Almost priced up with the likes of the Penske guys. So if anything, it's that price that's going to keep me away from him. But I will play him on FanDuel. It seems like a good FanDuel play to me. Joey Logano is starting in eighth. And he's kind of, all the Penske guys are kind of similar in value right now. But Logano especially is kind of fading away in regards to him not really being able to lead many laps. He did lead some at Bristol. He found his way out in front there. But at tracks like these, and especially the 1.5 mile tracks, you know, he's been great at finishing top 10. He just has not been able to put together lead laps and especially fast laps. And that's what really concerns me about him. If you're going to pay over $9,000 for someone, they have to have dominator potential. And Logano just doesn't really have that right now. So I don't think a lot of people are going to take him. And he's not really going to hurt you unless he finds some sort of way to lead a bunch of laps here, which is really unlikely. Last week's winner, Kurt Busch, is starting in ninth, $8,500 for him. Still a pretty fair price. Fifth and final practice with 10 and 15 lap averages. Ranked six on the board. So a pretty decent car going. You know, if Harvick's fast, Kurt's going to be fast. And kind of goes for Almirola and Bowyer as much, but I know Bowyer is not very good at this track, and we'll get to him soon, but Kurt Busch is. He was third last year, did wreck in 2016, but before that he was also sixth in 2015. And has a good long-term record here as well. Starting ninth is pretty good for him. He has an average running position of ninth this year, just on the season in general, and at steep tracks it's exactly ninth. So he's pretty much going to start where he finishes and finish where he starts. His odds are now better than the likes of Logano and Chase Elliott and even Bowyer, right there with Bowyer and Blaney. As far as the odds to win go, and I know he's coming off a win, so that inflates a little bit, but you know, Kurt Busch, not the third tier kind of driver that he had been before. You know, this year he's put his nose out in front a lot. He averages 25 lead laps per race, and when I say that, that's actually adjusted pretty much the new way the research station will kind of work out from now on regarding lead laps and fast laps is I just calculate the percentage of laps they've led and then apply that to the current number of laps on the track. So when you look at it in regards to this track, 367 laps available, but Kurt Busch would be expected, if he has an average race here, he'd be expected to lead 25 with 15 fast laps. And you compare it to last year and the year before that, where fast laps were beyond him and he never led or anything. Kurt's looking a lot better this season, and he's still cheap at $8,500, starting top 10, which is a great thing for both sides. Love me some Kurt Busch this week. And then William Byron starting in the 10 spot there, $7,200. He has performed previously in the season. I remember he was in the nuts starting 11th one race, and I think another race he started like 7th or something and did pretty well. But he has, you know, he's found trouble oftentimes, and only 17% of the time this year he's finished on the lead lap. You know, he's never raced here at Darlington before, and that's concerning, at least at a NASCAR level. So Byron, I'm definitely feeling more of a fade on. He's not 6K like he had been for a hot minute there. He's up in the 7K range, kind of where he belongs, at 300-1 odds to win. I don't think he offers any sort of real upside here. It's nice that he's starting in the top 10, but I think I'd rather go other places with my 7K plays this week. I'd rather play Bowman, honestly, even though he's starting higher. So go to 11th starting position here, Chase Elliott. He's first here. He was second in speed in the second practice, and then in the Xfinity race, he kind of flew up there initially. He had to start in the very back, didn't take a qualifying time, but flew up to like 10th place and then just chilled there all race. Didn't really do anything past that point. He's kind of done the same in Cup, just finishing 11th and 10th in his last 2 years. Of course, he crashed in 2015, so that doesn't really count as much. Obviously, finishing 41st, he can't even do that anymore. But yeah, Chase, this isn't the track type splits, and of course the Darlington splits are a lot worse than baseline for him. Just not the kind of track he's been doing all that well at this season. Starting 11th, you know, he's going to kind of get lost in the fray. I mean, I don't think he's going lap downs or anything, but he's in the 10K range now, and that's kind of crazy to pay for Chase at this point. I don't think he leads many laps, if any. I think, you know, most of the lead laps this week are going to go to the higher end guys, Hamlin, Kyle Busch, obviously. Kyle Larson's going to get some, Truex get some, and a Harvick will come through the field and likely get some. Chase Elliott, I don't think he's going to get any, not till he's done with the race and heads over to Hooters. Eric Almirola, starting 12th, $8,100. Just to play, like usual with Eric Almirola, he's just in a spot where he just doesn't stick out. He's not going to project well. He kind of does this a lot, and I love him. And he's found some lead laps recently at places where you wouldn't expect him to, so I would definitely play him still some. It's just hard to really make much of a case for him. Historically, these track types, he's definitely someone that prefers flatter surfaces, definitely. And he's never really done much at Darlington, even though he's never raced here with Stuart Haas racing equipment. The practice times were just, like 13th, 10 lap speeds. Nothing that really suggests you go out there and play Almirola, but I would play him a little bit just in case he has something in the bag for us, which he could at any given track with the equipment he's in right now. Brad Keselowski starting 13th, $9,300. He was looking pretty good in the Xfinity race as well. He kind of went up there. He got to view the Harvick and Chastain incident firsthand, ended up leading some laps because of that. He won the race, but he didn't really win the race. Honestly, Ross Chastain won that race, and Harvick and Christopher Bell were giving him a hell of a time, but all three of those guys got wrecked out, and then Keselowski was just kind of there and took the lead and won it. He didn't really deserve the victory. He wasn't really flying up there. I mean, he did move up a little bit, like you'd kind of expect from Cup guys, but not a dominating win by any means. He's just kind of a little lucky to be in the right spot at the right time and have the right guys crash, because all Bell, Chastain, and Harvick were all faster than him. So Keselowski, he's good at Darlington. Runner up here in 2015, average running position of 8.8, so really like 9th. I'm more interested in Blaney of all the Penske guys, but Keselowski, of course, he has random, upside shots every now and again. These steep tracks are not his preferred type. He does well on the steepest of tracks, which are the plate races, but those aren't really similar to these kinds of steep tracks. And then in general, he does better at the shorter, flatter surfaces. Average running position at this track type of 12th, which is not all that great for Keselowski. 19th and 10 lap speeds. Starting 13th is okay for him, but I'm not gonna be playing him too much. Maybe on FanDuel a bit, but I'll get some Keselowski in here. For what it was worth, he was very low owned in that Xfinity race, and I'd imagine he'd be low owned again this week along with Logano. And he has more upside than Gano. I'm gonna play him more than Logano, but still not gonna play him a ton here at $9,300. Paul Menard, $6,400. He's starting 14th, and he seems to be in a pretty good spot. This is not his preferred track type or just track in general. He's never done that well here before, but he's in much, much better equipment now. And was second in 10 lap speeds in the first practice, 9th in the 10 lap speeds in final practice. He's always kind of practiced a little bit better than he's actually done on the track. And he had some good finishes going for a while, but I don't like the fact he's only finished on the lead lap in 22% of races this year. And the history with him isn't that great, but $6,400 is cheap for him. Usually finds himself around 7K. Starting 15th, he's going to be a lot better than some of the options down there in that range. He's pretty safe, and that range altogether, not too many plays actually stick out as really good plays. So kind of spreading it around a little bit, or maybe you can find a play that kind of speaks to you. I don't really love Menard all that much, and if anything happens to him, you're kind of toast. He's starting so high, but not going to fade him either completely. Matt Kenseth, kind of the same way here. He's starting 15th. He has a fantastic history here in the 20 car. That's the issue with him. He won in 2013 and four top six finishes in the last 5 years. It's just that the 6 car is a lot different than the 20 car. He did post the 6th fastest lap in practice, but he took 26 laps without putting 10 laps together, so we don't know about his longer run speed. This year he's been just slightly better or just the same on steep tracks compared to normal. Running about 22nd place on average, 23rd place, that's not inspiring. He's had some good finishes at tracks that he is historically good at. But they tend to be the tracks where driver skill is more important than driver equipment. Equipment will matter a bit more this week, as it's really close to a 1.5-mile track. So not huge on Kenseth, but you know, he's in the position where he maybe won't get lapped or might just stay a lap down or something, get a lucky dog, something like that. But still not terribly huge on Kenseth, just knowing he's in the sixth car, 300-1. A lot worse than Menard's 200-1 odds there. I don't really know. Then you know, you can compare that to Suarez, who's starting in 16th. He's 100-1, but he costs a bit more, $7,900 on DraftKings. And you know, it's a decent spot for him. He crashed here last year, so we don't really know much about how good he is here in the NASCAR level. But for the most part, you know those JGR teammates are going to be in awesome spots, and he's been watching them closely. Would like to use more Suarez if his price wasn't getting so high and he actually had more quality experience here at this track. But I kind of wish he practiced a little better too in final practice, like 20th and 10 lap speeds. It's not all that great. So real hesitant with Suarez. You know, he's just not the price value he had been in the weeks and months prior. And starting in 17th, Clint Bowyer. This is perhaps his worst track, like one of his worst tracks. Hasn't really done all that well here, at least in this generation of car. He crashed and finished dead last year. 2016 doesn't really count for him because he was on like BK Racing. Like we don't talk about 2016 Clint Bowyer. And that might have something to do with the stats looking a little bit worse at Darlington, but even then still he finished 22nd, which wasn't bad considering his equipment. And then before that, 17th, 12th, 11th, the Michael Waltrip Racing equipment, which is pretty decent. I don't know. There's still a chance that, you know, Bowyer and his new equipment could have an excellent race here. But I kind of mean it when I say that this is just a bad track for him. In 12 races here in his career, he only has one top 10 finish. So that's just a really bad sign. Average finish of 22nd in his career. He's just not great at this track in particular. He is definitely, definitely better at the flatter tracks. You can really see it with Bowyer's results historically. Someone who is good at this track, kind of in particular, does pretty darn well here. That's Austin Dillon. He's only $6,600. He's going to be one of my favorite value plays on the board. Probably going to be my highest exposure guy under 7K. He's starting 18th, and if you look at his history here, it's not bad at all. 4th last year, 12th in 2016, 22nd in 2015, and 11th in 2014. So overall, an average running position of 16th, driver rating of 79. Compare that to his usual numbers, usually has a driver rating of 69, average running position of 19th. Just does better here at this track. The practice times weren't really there this week. We didn't see the 10 lap times from him, but he was 19th overall in speed. Not too worried about it though. He can definitely get around here. Just solid history for him. And even just on the track type, does a lot better on the steeper tracks than the flatter tracks out there. So Dylan's definitely going to be a good source of value. I'm not sure how popular he'll be. Starting in the 18 hole, I don't imagine him getting too popular. I think guys still kind of lean to taking the value guys in the 20s. But I really do like Austin Dillon there. He's not starting far enough back to really make me worried. Chris Buescher, he does pretty darn well here at this track as well. 17th here in his first two times racing in the NASCAR Cup Series. Wasn't that hot in practice, but he's $6,100. 100-1 to win right now, which is pretty good for Chris Buescher. And the stats are pretty darn decent for him. Just does a lot better at this track than others. 19th average running position, so he kind of averages where he's starting here. And at $6,000, if you're telling me that guys starting a bit further up have more of an advantage this week, I think Buescher can stay on the lead lap. Maybe not entirely. He's only finished on the lead lap in 17% of races this year. It's not a great number at all, really. But he does kind of avoid at least catastrophic crashes for the most part. And he's had some pretty good races this season where he'd be racing Just extraordinarily well overall. Like Bristol, I think he was running up there in like the top 10 and just got taken out by a crash. So I do believe in Buescher's ability this week, and I'll be playing him some, starting 19th. And then Jimmy Johnson starting 20th. He's kind of a decent play for me. He's popping for the first time in a while for me. He was 7th in the first practice, 5th in the 10-lap speeds, and 3rd in final practice, 10th in the 10-lap speeds there. Starting 20th, had a really solid like first and second round, or well, first round, not second round, obviously. I think in qualifying, he had a pretty good lap put together there, but wasn't that great in the second round, obviously. He's not dominated or anything really much this year, but average running position of 14th for him. You expect him to move up, and at $8,300, he's about as cheap as he's been so far this year. So I'm looking to Jimmy Johnson this week a lot more than usual. Usually it's not at all. But obviously, you know, he's been great at every track, of course. He was 3rd and 4th here in 2014, 2013. Since then, it's kind of been shaky, but 12th last year. Yeah, I just think he can get enough place differential to be all right. I don't know about the fast laps, though. That's a concern for him, for sure. Only averages 6 fast laps per race this year. So that does worry me, but outside of that, you know, just I think he's going to do decent in the place differential department. And he just does better at steeper tracks. Also, we've kind of known that throughout his entire career. You know, you look to like really just places where you run the outside. That's been a, you know, kind of an indicator of success for him. I mean, look at him at like Homestead, where he's won all those championships at, and there you have to run the outside well. So don't mind Jimmy Johnson this all at all this week, and that's, I feel weird saying that. Ryan Blaney, he's you know, he's crashed twice here in his first 3 races at Darlington. So we don't know a ton about him. He was 13th in 2016 when he did survive, but the dude does love to crash. We know that. He has bad finishes this year at the steep tracks, but if you look at average running position, it's great. You know, average running position at 9th, average finish of 22nd. Obviously, it indicates trouble, but just looking to Blaney, you know, in this season he's been awesome. Leads 28 laps or 29 laps actually per race, which is pretty sick. 17 fast laps. Really like those numbers from, but $9,600. I hate that number. He's so expensive on DraftKings. You know, you look over to FanDuel and see if he's only $9,500. You know, if someone's cheaper on FanDuel than DraftKings, you know something's messed up, because there's an entire extra salary slot they have to pay for on DraftKings. So Blaney, I'd say just play him on FanDuel and play him a decent amount, but of course he is someone that can find trouble and that will screw you over on FanDuel. But given he finishes the race, you know, he's got fast long speed. You can see it, 4th in 10 lap speeds, 2nd overall on the board, 2nd only to Kyle Busch in the 15 lap speeds, and he can lead some laps. I like him the most of the Penske guys for sure, starting back in 21st. I think he goes up. I know he's had trouble at this track in the past, but I think he can put together a decent finish this time around. So I do like Ryan Blaney there starting 21st. And then you're gonna have probably the chalk of the slate, I would imagine, Kevin Harvick starting 22nd. You know, he's just been a machine this year with 84 lead laps on average, 60 fast laps on average. And at this track type, it's the same sort of thing. 59 lead laps on average, 42 fast laps on average. And Darlington, historically, you know, he won in 2014, runner-up in 2016. Just put together a ton of top 10 finishes in a row. Average running position of 3.8, average finish of 4.4. Average lead laps 102.7, 37 fast laps on average. I mean, he's definitely set up to be one of the best plays of the week, but I think everybody hates his guts right now after how aggressively he ended up getting into Ross Chastain in today's race. And he ended up parking in his pit stall and just had some nasty words for him. You know, I think someone like Recky, you know, everyone is watching that. Everyone's probably not too happy with Harvick right now. There's a chance someone like Recky could give him some sweet, sweet revenge and take him out. But, you know, that's just conspiracy, really. But still, you know, it is probably true that he's not going to be very popular in the garage this week. He was a real dick to Chastain, said he'd never be able to drive in cup level equipment, which is kind of crazy considering that Chastain, you know, just led the first two laps on Harvick, you know, for the most part fending Harvick and Bell off. I mean, he had a really awesome race before all, you know, they got into it like that. But you know, Darlington does bring that out in people. It is a very rough and abusive racetrack, and you know, all things aside, Harvick would just be the best play straight up here, starting so far back and being such a veteran. He's going to be the chalk, though, and if anything can happen to him, especially on FanDuel, feel free to fade him on FanDuel. He just costs so much over there, $13,400. Of course, Kyle Busch is $14,000, so it kind of tells you what they think of him over there on FanDuel. But, you know, on DraftKings, place differential is even worth a little bit more, and, you know, you can kind of survive if you get some dominator points and then get into an accident and have a crappy finish. Unlike FanDuel, that completely kills you. So Harvick, definitely a better DraftKings play all the way. And then going through the bottom of the field here, going to hurry and finish up here. David Ragan starting 23rd. He's all right. I usually do prefer him on the steeper tracks, but this track in particular, he does not have very good history. He's been finishing a lot of his laps on the season, finishing 98% of them, but you know, I just wish he was starting a little bit farther back. Allmendinger is one of the more egregious examples of guys who just really struggle at Darlington in general. Just, you know, not really really the track type as well, just does not do all that well in the steeper tracks. Definitely prefers the flat tracks. You know, obviously his preferred banking would be zero, and have everything be Martinsville and road course races. He would definitely win some championships if that was the case. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. starting 25th. He's a pretty decent play. $7,700 is kind of costly for him, but at steep tracks, I mean, it's helped out. His Bristol numbers help him out a lot here, but average running position of 14th, average finish at 13th. You know, he's definitely he definitely has his particular tracks that he does well at, mostly Bristol and the plate races, Daytona and Talladega. Here, he's not really had the success. The best finish of 18th, the average running position of 24th. Does have the one crash in 2015. And he can definitely get into it with people, and maybe it's not the best track to do all that at, but you know, all things aside, if you know he's going to finish the race, then he's going to definitely move up from 25th. He'll probably finish in the teens most likely, but you know, it's still kind of a risk playing Recce, because he can, I mean, we call him Recce for a reason. Michael McDowell starting 26th. This is again, not exactly his preferred type of track, but still represents good value in the 5K range. His average running position on the season, 22.5. So starting 26, you'd expect that to go up a bit. You know, not as into Michael McDowell as I am at, you know, tracks he's good at in particular, but he did finish 19th here last year. So, you know, he could definitely, I think some of his numbers are kind of thrown off, because he has his 2013 race in here, actually, where he finished 42nd, and he was in just such a crappy car back then anyway. He was kind of a back-end parker, so that does throw some of his numbers off. Kind of like McDowell, just a little bit more because of that, although that doesn't really factor into the, that wouldn't factor into the steep track splits or anything, just as overall Darlington stats there. But, yeah, I kind of like him a little bit. His practice times weren't too bad. 21st in 10-lap speed. So, yeah, I don't think he has too much potential to move up too far before he's a lap or two or three or four down to, you know, like Kyle Busch or Hamlin or someone. But, yeah, I do like McDowell. Just if you need to go in the 5Ks and grab somebody, pretty much going to talk about a lot of these options down here with the next few guys, because only a handful of guys until you get to the unplayable range. And this is, according to the numbers, this is almost the unplayable range. Once you pass, like, 25th, historically, it's not been good to the guys starting back here. Remember, like 3 or 5% of these guys even finish in the optimal, so it's very unlikely that one of these guys do, but, you know, who knows. Ty Dillon, he's raced here once and finished 13th last year. average running position of 16th as well. So he did excellent last year. Only have that one race to go off of. But he did race today. And he was all right. You know, he started like 12th and finished 9th.